Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of Admittance One, your ticket is non-refundable, Geek Cave Podcast Movies. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad. Clever intro here. Welcome to the movie segment. We're brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. With free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or something in between, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. Also brought to you by Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. All ages. Come on and get on, Grandma. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, send it back with the postage paid envelope for a new one. Or keep it forever, pay a lot less than in-store prices. And they just updated their rewards program where you can stack up to $20 in coupons toward any purchase. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. I want to talk about Extra Life for a bit.
Okay.
Because we got Extra Life coming up, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, we talked a little bit about prize and so forth, and I may have offhanded mentioned that Moolander might very well be our Geek Cave Live game. That's not a promise. It's just, but at the same time, I think it'd be really funny.
Yeah, go back to the gaming segment to hear that.
Especially if we could convince one of the Geek Cave spouses to be like the evil cow, and we do the
not
three
it.
On one.
I'm not making that conversation.
Do we really want to try to ask one of the women to play an evil cow?
I think because they would have all the power.
Okay. All right. Time of death.
Or one of us. I don't care. I want to know what a three-on-one kind of thing looks like.
The Geek Cave podcast is seeking a third host. Do you have what it takes to...
Only
donate
$250.
No, donate $500. You'll just take one of our places. I don't care.
Don't listen to him. He's crazy. He's gone crazy. But we do have some good prizes. We got some stuff from Limited Run Games.
Yes.
Is one of our prizes, the Ninja Turtle Shredder's Revenge.
On Switch, physical copy, yep.
So physical copies of this are not a thing that exists.
No.
Right? So this is
limited.
This is actually getting to hold something that everyone else is buying digitally.
Correct.
And, of course, Shirtosaurus has always provided us with excellent options for t-shirts and
shirt
so
of the
forth.
Winner's Choice, yep.
So what other stuff are we really digging into?
Winner's choice of a Nintendo Switch Online, Xbox Game Pass, or PlayStation Plus Essentials membership. So with the PS Plus and Game Pass, you get access to a big gaming library of games you can download. With Nintendo Switch Online, you get access to the NES and SNES online apps, which allows you to play a bunch of retro games. And, of course, all three of those memberships get you online multiplayer access.
Nice. So, and then, of course, one of our special things this year is $250 donation, and join us for one of the segments.
Correct.
In the room or in a digital room.
Yeah, we're not paying for your travel, but if you can get here, great. If not, you can join us in a video call as well, and you get to be part of the podcast.
Bring your own segment or conquer one of ours for a bit.
Or just bring yourself and hang out.
Bring yourself and hang out. I do like hanging out with people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like making friends. I'm kind of introverted, which means that usually I require other people to just adopt me as a friend. But so far, it's worked out all right.
So far, so good.
All right. I like making friends, but I haven't been able to get out. Justin, have you been to a party?
Ladies and gentlemen, Conway Twitty.
Pilot party!
What in the F?
I don't think Conway Twitty ever rocked that hard.
It's some of his early obscure work before he really got famous in the country scene.
Oh, wow.
The big CT.
But I digress. Welcome to Pilot Party, where I review an entire series based only on the first episode. Why only the first episode? Because by the time I finally pick something from the 300 million streaming services there are, I only have time for the one. Warning. The following review contains mature content of a sexual nature. Listener discretion is advised.
Uh-oh.
For those of you sticking around, buckle up.
You this know, the month, last several of his have been anime.
Yeah.
This has me concerned.
This is not anime.
I'm less concerned.
This month we're talking about Sex Education, a 2019 British offering whose first line of dialogue is, and I quote, "Do you like my tits?"
I am more concerned.
I'm not. I've seen this one.
Okay.
The show opens with a couple of teenagers going at it. Yes, said tits are front and center. Amy, the girl, achieves her intended goal, while Adam, the boy, fakes it. He's having some issues, but we'll get back to him. It's here we meet the show's main protagonist, Otis. Another teenager, whose mom, played by Gillian Anderson, is a sex therapist, who sees clients in her home, and has an unending string of, quote, boyfriends. Otis has his own sexual issues. He can't masturbate. Otis and his best friend Eric, one of the two openly gay kids at school, proceed with their day, discussing how everyone else has had sex of some kind over the summer, except Otis. Amy shares her issues concerning Adam, with Maeve, the school's, quote, whore, and social outcast. They hide their friendship to save Amy's social status. More on her later. Adam and Otis get paired for an assignment. Adam invites himself over to Otis's house and things go south. You see, Adam, in addition to being unable to, quote, seal the deal, is also the school's bully and headmaster's son. Otis's mom begins to analyze him and he freaks out and leaves. The next day, he sends a video to everyone in the school, and it's an instructional video made by Otis's mom on how to give a hand job. It also labels Otis a sex freak. Maeve finds him distraught and tries to calm him down when they hear a scream. It's Adam. Apparently, in an attempt to secure his manhood, he took 3 Viagra. 3. Needless to say, it didn't go well. Otis and Maeve try to help Adam, which results in Otis giving him a therapy session. Adam's troubles are tied to everyone knowing that his dad's a headmaster and that he has a huge cock. Quote, 2 Coke cans stacked on top of each other. End quote. Otis tells him to embrace his legacy. And he does, by standing on a table in a crowded lunchroom and showing the goods, as it were. Later, Adam is finally able to achieve orgasm with Amy. And then she breaks up with him, but, you know, minor plot point. Maeve, seeing a potential gold mine, offers Otis a deal. The school is full of kids who could use sexual counseling, and he has a knack for it. She'll run the business side, he handles the therapy side, and they split the profits. A deal is struck, and the credits roll. This show isn't for everyone. That being said, it's still really well done. There are a few cringeworthy moments, but they aren't done for laughs, and it's to help understand the characters and help develop them. Honestly, the worst part of the show is how painfully clear it makes it that American school system's idea of sex ed is severely lacking. There is a scene in which the students have to have a refresher course on safe sex. They're each given a condom and a cock and balls analog to practice applying the condom on. This is just Par for the course. Now for my predictions. Otis and Maeve end up helping the entire school with their sexual issues, including the staff. In the end, everyone is happy, especially Eric. He achieves such an awakening that he transforms into something new. A Time Lord, specifically the 14th incarnation of one called the Doctor. He and Otis's mom, again played by Gillian Anderson, travel back to the 1990s where she becomes an FBI agent specializing in extraterrestrials and unexplained phenomenon. I give it 4 big throbbing cucumbers being masturbated by Gillian Anderson out of 5.
You know,
it's amazing how accurate those predictions can be sometimes.
It's just, yeah.
And he never made an Ender Wiggin joke. Like, I expected there to be an Ender Wiggin joke somewhere in there.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Thank you, Justin.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, so there are a lot of shows out there that live in the memories of TV land. Some of them are given new life, and some are as lost as an incoming freshman. This segment of the show asks you about one such forgotten piece of television history and asks, should we review it? It was good then. The original's just as good now. Should we reboot it? The idea is sound, but we can modernize it and capture some magic. Shall we revive it? What are these characters doing after a couple decades of growth and development? Or shall we refuse it? Chad, Red Foreman has a word for you. It is September in 1996. Freshman year has me a bit bummed. I'm not digging football, and it'll still be 6 months before auditions for the spring musical. So I escaped into a show, a TV show about exploration, discovery, and chasing down a talented young man named Jared, who is The Pretender.
Nice.
The Pretender ran for 4 seasons on NBC, was given a couple of made-for-TV movies by TNT. And the show followed Jared, a man with a unique gift for stepping into the shoes of any walk of life and doing so authoritatively. He was kidnapped as a young child, was experimented on by Sydney in the center, and when he escaped, his goal, initially, is to track down his family. But he is chased down by Sydney, the one who was doing the experiments, and the enigmatic Ms. Parker. It is filled with twists and turns and vigilante justice and some really solid acting. So what do you say about The Pretender? Review, reboot, revive, or refuse?
I'm going to have to... I don't know if there's an abstain option because I've never seen The Pretender.
Oh, my.
I've never seen The Pretender, so I'm not going to refuse it because I'm not going to throw away a show I've never seen.
Right.
I can't reboot it because I don't know how it would stack up. And I can't revive it because, again, I've never seen it. So I guess I have to go with review as a default because it sounds like an interesting concept. I missed it when it came out. 1996, I was a freshman as well, and I don't remember this show at all.
Huh. Surprises me a little bit.
I remember Smallville.
Yeah, you were probably watching Smallville.
Yeah.
Justin, you remember this one?
I do. And I'm going to go kind of off the beaten path a little bit and go with a rebooted revival.
Hmm.
And I say that in... I don't necessarily want a revival with all of the original cast coming in because they kind of did that with some of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want just a straight-up reboot. What I think would be fun is a reboot in the exact same universe following another pretender, and Jared comes in occasionally to kind of help out.
So kind of like what they did with Leverage Redemption.
You
bring the original cast back, but you also new characters are brought in.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. So just enough nostalgic to draw in the old audience, but new enough where it might find a new hold on them.
Eventually, the chase gets a little bit tired.
Yes.
I'll admit that, where it's a constant state. the most interesting episodes were when Jared does get caught and has to then figure out his way out of them. But I'm still going to go with Revive. I think that there's still some good to mine into that. And that it's nice to see one of those good guy wins kind of thing by being the bad guy every now and again. So, it's one of those interesting shows, interesting concepts. I don't know that there's been a whole bunch like it.
Right.
I mean, it takes a thief, which was, you know, a reformed thief is hired by the government to do stuff like that, but not like this, where you had a former experiment basically escape and try to do good with the world. So, hey, those of you on Discord, let me know if you remember this one. So, there have been a few shows come new on like Disney Plus and so forth. Darren, you watched one of those.
Hello there. Yeah.
He Obi-Wan said the thing.
He said the thing. And he says it in the show too. And God, there's so many things I could say about Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I have to hold my tongue because of spoilers. Mm-hmm. Because Justin hasn't seen it. You haven't seen it either, correct?
No, but I've read the spoilers.
Okay, well, Justin
I'm going
hasn't
to
seen
very
it.
Soon for those listening on Discord. I've been purposefully waiting for all six of them to drop, and I'm going to binge this.
Yeah, we do have a spoilers tab.
The week before this comes out, I will have watched it.
Yeah, we do have a spoilers tab on our Discord, so if you want to talk about spoilery stuff, Shin was in there talking about Xenoblade stuff because someone got him on a roll. And once you start, just go in and just ask a random Xenoblade question and come back like 15 minutes later and you'll have an essay. It's remarkable.
Is Xenoblade the sword used by the aliens that Sigourney Weaver fought?
Oh, I don't even think you need to wait 15 minutes. I think Shin kind of has an alert pop up on his phone whenever he sometimes gets pop-ups for Xena, Warrior Princess, just because it's so delicate and he's just ready.
This is the great thing about the Discord is we will talk about you on the show.
Absolutely.
And usually it's talking trash.
But in a loving way, because we love our fans.
It's good-natured ribbing, yes. So, Obi-Wan Kenobi, for all of the Star Wars stuff that's been on Disney+, you had stuff that is really good, The Mandalorian, and then you had stuff that was not that great, Boba Fett, which was good once The Mandalorian showed back up in it. And then you've got this, which is, you know, the best thing I can say about it is not only does this redeem parts of the new, of the prequel trilogy, but it connects the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy in such a way that, damn it, it's almost like they had it planned all along. I know they didn't, and I know they just fixed some things with the show, but it feels like it was part of the plan all along. It is great to see Ewan McGregor back as Obi-Wan. It is great to see, I'm blanking on his name.
Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen, thank you. It's great to see him back as Darth Vader. And there are a couple of scenes, because it's Vader. Vader's a giant robot man. You can have anyone play him. But there are a couple scenes where this show shows, yes, we were justified in bringing him back, and here's why. Some wonderful stuff. There's a great cameo at the very end of the last episode that my wife had been clamoring for all series long. The casting for the kids, Luke and Leia as kids, is phenomenal. Particularly Leia, and I'm not giving anything away by that, but they cast really well there. And the story is a nice self-contained one. It's a small one that happens to get bigger once Obi-Wan runs afoul of certain people, that kind of thing. But boy, oh boy, oh, I can't say enough good things about this show other than just, I don't want to spoil anything. Go watch it. Obi-Wan Kenobi is probably one of the best pieces of Star Wars media to come out in the past 10 years.
Wow.
Easily. And I liked the sequel trilogy. I recognize it has flaws. Rogue One, I didn't really resonate with me. Love The Mandalorian. This is how you do a Star Wars property to expand upon that universe that has already been told. this is how you do it. Go watch Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Nice.
All right.
Justin, you watched anything new and exciting besides Sex Education?
Nope, can't say that I have.
All right. Well, I watched a whole bunch of trailers, and I watched a movie, so I guess I'll do the movie first, and then we'll do the trailers. Sing 2, I know it came out in 2021, but I only just saw it. So, my child really likes the original Sing, you know, a whole animal-centric, you know, jukebox musical. Sing 2 follows on the success of the characters from Sing 1 with the company, the acting musical company. They're doing well in their local town, but when they're told that they'll always be a small town troupe, they take it as a challenge to sell their show to a producer in the big city. It doesn't work, but it does work because it's that kind of movie, and Bono plays a big grumpy lion. So the movie
that
plays
tracks.
Out the way it will do. With each character having a bit of an arc. Things go well, then poorly, then well again. Happy endings abound. Music's good, and if you got kids, it's a solid A. If you don't have kids, it's a B+, because you need kind of the energy of the kids being excited and laughing at some of the goofy stuff to really push it that little bit higher. Trailer Land. Man, there were a lot of trailers this week. Not all of them were good. Not all of them were bad, though. Lyle Crocodile. I'm tempted on this one. A live-action animated movie mix. This one features a singing crocodile voiced by Shawn Mendes. And the music will probably be really good. I don't know about the rest. But the music sounds good. Thor, Love, and Thunder.
You mean they couldn't get a movie called Lyle Crocodile and not have Lyle Lovett be the singing crocodile?
Turns out no. Thor, Love, and Thunder has a new trailer for this past week, 2 weeks ago for you listening. A bit more of a look into the baddie and the team that Thor is putting together. Watch for the humor. Stay for the Jean-Claude Van Damme split maneuver. In which Thor stops two almost colliding speeders by doing the splits and putting a foot straight out and stopping them. It's magnificent, and it looks way wrong on Chris Hemsworth. Barbarian, what I was hoping to be a Sword and Sandals Conan remix, is instead a survival horror movie that starts in a bad Airbnb. Hard pass. White Bird, a pseudo-sequel to the feel-good movie Wonder. This one's a flashback story of World War II. You know, fun. Puss in Boots 2, The Last Wish. I really like Antonio Banderas in this role. I do not like the 18 frames per second animation style that they have going on with the action sequences. This is not anime. Do better, y'all. Smile. So, you remember movies like The Grudge and The Ring and so forth? This is that style. A string of deaths where each victim is tied to the next by a week of people smiling at them too much. It looks creepy AF, and I will likely not be watching it. Now, what I do plan on watching, and it's going to be on Hulu, so I'm going to have to go and, like, steal Darren's TV for a while.
That's fair.
Is Prey. I want this movie so badly. If this movie isn't good, I will be the angriest movie geek on the podcast.
Please, take out your anger on Darren's TV, not mine.
Well, you don't take it out on the TV at all. You take it out on the podcast, where you let all those frustrations out and invite everyone to listen in. One Up, Girls versus Guys video game competition movie. The misogyny is strong in this one, because we've learned nothing. Black Adam, hey, you know, Shazam had a sense of humor to it. We should do that with this guy who's destined to be the villain in a different movie. It'll make him endearing. I'm sure it will. Crawl Space, another survival thriller having to do with a plumber fighting off a couple of ruffians while being relegated to the not full-size basement area of a house. Crawl space. Come for the bad, you know, setup. Stay for the guy drilling a screw through another guy's foot.
Ah.
That's the trailers I watched this week. It was fun. I say, with a straight face.
You have a weird definition of fun.
Don't I just. If we don't have any other reviews
ooh,
or news.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, one more thing.
Yeah.
And now it is time for Darren's Trivial Trivia.
So did you know both There Will Be Blood and No Country for Old Men were filmed in the same part of Texas at around the same time?
I did not.
Well, it led to some problems because There Will Be Blood was doing a pyro test that got into a shot that the Coen brothers were planning for No Country for Old Men. It held up production.
Okay.
That's awesome.
There you go.
Well, then. Thank you for that, Darren. And now it's time for the random movie review, which means I need Kent to do his thing.
Oh, the lights are down low. The popcorn is hot. The drinks are cold. Settle in for the cinematic universe of Chad's Random Movie Review.
All right, so I give myself a little bit of leeway and some veto power on movies I've watched. For example, if it's something that I've reviewed before, then I will swap the dice, you know, because I roll a D20 and a D12, and I'll just swap those. Or if it's leaving Netflix in 2 days, I don't have time to watch it. So Memoirs of a Geisha, sorry, but you're leaving in like 2 days and I don't have time. So next month will be A Walk Among the Tombstones. I'm sure Liam Neeson, you know, as an old hitman, is probably going to be just like the rest of them. This month's movie, however, is Hunt for the Wilder People, a Taika Waititi lighthearted drama about a grumpy man, a surly youth, and their journey of discovery in the Australian bush. The film starts with Ricky Baker being introduced to Bella. So Bella is a foster aunt, because it's Australia, or it's New Zealand, I guess, is really where it is, New Zealand. I shouldn't say Australian bush. I just associate bush with Australia. It's New Zealand. And this is a last chance for Ricky, because Ricky's been labeled a delinquent. Now, Bella's husband, Hector, is less enthusiastic about having the boy at the house, but he doesn't say anything because he's going to choose to be the silent grumpy type, because you need that kind of person in a movie. And though Ricky is resistant, even running away that first night, making it about 200 yards before he gets lost and just falls asleep, to wake up to Bella sitting there is like, you didn't even make it 200 yards.
You baby.
You know, he eventually comes around because Bella is all in on this kid. She loves him to pieces and is willing to be that person, and they form a familial bond, which kind of has its climax there when Ricky gets a dog, his very own dog, for his 13th birthday, which he promptly names Tupac, after his favorite singer.
Should have been Tupac.
Should have been.
Because of the pause. Come on.
Now, because everything right now at this, you know, 15 to 17 minutes into the movie seems like it's going well, and because it's a Taika Waititi movie, it means that Bella has to die. And she dies off screen with just her husband basically crying. And then we cut to the funeral. So Taika Waititi is playing the role of the minister at this funeral. And my professional brain about had an aneurysm at how bad this funeral sermon was. It's not even the worst funeral sermon I've ever heard, which, I'll tell you, between the three of us and the sweetest smelling listeners in the podcastum, that's saying something. But it's bad. It's so bad. And I'm not going to repeat it here because I don't think it should be repeated.
Okay.
But like 17 minutes into the movie, be aware. Well, anyway, with Bella now dead, Ricky has to go back to child services because Hector is not fit to be the sole caretaker. He's a former, he was imprisoned formerly. He can't read, you know, so it's just, he's not a good fit to be a foster uncle. Ricky doesn't want to go back because his only option otherwise is to go to juvie. And so he runs away. Well, first he fakes his own death by dressing up a whole bunch of pots and pans in his clothes, drawing a face on a pie pan and sticking it in the hood of his shirt and then setting the whole thing on fire, which also sets the barn on fire. He had written a note, said, I can't go back, and so I'm going to burn myself to death. Next line, which you can see if you analyze the body in the barn. Turns out that pans don't burn in a fire. Happy music plays anyway as Ricky gets himself lost in the bush, of which there's about a million acres thereof. And he's trying to ration his food. He's got 10 pieces of sandwich bread is all that he's got. He's just like, four down, six to go, stick to the plan. And then the very next scene like fades to him trying to empty the crumbs from the bag into his mouth. And so as soon as he starts hallucinating that his dog is a cake, and he turns and he sees a big old triple-decked hamburger, you know, start talking to him, and he shakes his head and realizes that Hector found him. And Hector's going to bring him back. We got to bring him back. You know, you're going back to child services. That's the way this is going to be. Ricky's back talking makes Hector angry, and he steps forward, and he catches his foot in like a root, and it breaks it. And so Hector falls down, and he's got to just wait it out. It'll take weeks. And so he effectively, for the next 6 weeks, teaches this kid how to get food, get drink, and survive. This is not the movie. They pass this 6 weeks in about 3 minutes. Then they get up and they start walking out. But it turns out over this 6 weeks, a manhunt has started for the two of them, because it looks, with the burnt barn and the, you know, the fake dead kid, that it looks as though Hector has abducted the boy. Over their adventures in the bush, the two come to understand one another, all while the whole of the region is looking for them. And without spoiling the things, because I want you to watch it, the ending has Hector and Ricky getting ready to step back into the bush, because along the way they find a bird that they think had gone extinct. And so they want to become rich and famous to, you know, this rediscovering this thing. It's a quirky film. It deserves to be seen. It's a slower movie, but the payoffs, to my mind, are worth it. Sam Neill, you know, Dr. Alan Grant, plays Hector, and he does so really well. You buy into kind of this grumpy old man thing. Julian Dennison, that you may recognize as Russell Collins / Firefist from Deadpool 2, is the one who's playing Ricky.
Okay.
And he acts right up to that same standard. Like, you never get the sense that Sam Neill is having to act down to the child's level. This kid's doing the work. And other than the funeral scene in the first 20 minutes, the rest of the film's relatively cringe-free. There is a scene later involving a hunting accident that is a bit of a downer, but it's treated well. You know, it's not done to gross anybody out or to do anything. It's just this is a reality of these things. So it's well worth your time. Be like me. Hunt for the wilder people. With no other business, thanks to our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Find geeky news, etc. at geekcavepodcast.com. Join the Discord for fun and conversation. And tell your friends all about where to find us, including Podbean, Apple Podcast, Amazon, GoodPod, and so forth. And then leave us a review. Don't forget to check out our other offerings, including You Want Me to Watch What? And Week 3. Head over to twitch.tv/geekcavepodcast to see Darren play some video games. Now on Tuesdays.
At 6:30.
At 6:30 p.m. Central Time.
Yep.
And you can find the YouTube channel and see Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. And so for Kent, our dashing Lone Star, Darren Wright, our lovable Bartholomew, Justin White, our sexy Princess Vespa, I'm Chad Savage, Major Asshole. Thanks for listening, and remember, everyone is a geek for something.